to do some bit of scannering about yourself. We have started a process which we are going to consistently continue with, of engaging with the Auditor General Office before we talk to yourself. That's the scannering I'm referring to. I like playing open cards with anybody. I hope this does not scare you. It's not meant to be. In fact, it's got no reason to scare anybody. As somebody, since just having just said those few words, somebody has turned red. We have two apologies here from Mrs. Mabuza and Carter from our committee. Their apology is going to come from myself. Unfortunately, I'll have to jump around Kuratu. I've been requested by the deputy speaker to join her in welcoming Vice Chairman of the National People's Congress of the Chinese Parliament. National People's Congress of the People's Republic of China. That's how it is officially. The first Vice Chairman is an equivalent, two of them, so informed, is an equivalent of, and the senior one in the Parliament in China of our speaker here. So as we move forward, I'll have to jump out and then come back again after those rituals. Without waste of time, we shall allow the department to introduce its accounting officer or acting one, and then I don't think we need to introduce everybody to the time, and perhaps only when people speak we can introduce themselves, and also in the interest of time, if that is allowed and allowed and permitted, we shall then move forward. Thanks for a very illustrative report, and also the fact that he's on color. The first one did come, so that did mention to Madhya that three of the pages that were here, they were in black and white, and they were to be put on color, so that you also save on your own side in terms of cost. But we just see now that you have presented us with a fully colorful one. Dr. Mukherjee, you shall then have to take us through.
Thank you, Chair, the honorable members. I think when, as you suggested, that when we speak, we'll then introduce the delegation. We took a note that it's a full complement, but we tried to address the issues which have been highlighted in the annual report, and that's why we brought all the people here. One other aspect which personally we might need to discuss in the future is the issue of bringing along the provinces, because they are our implementers, because of the concurrent function and the nature of the function which we have in the department. We noted that we'll do that with a select committee where we come along with the provinces, particularly the HODs of the provinces, particularly on the transfer bank. So there's a full complement, and also including the ministry and the legal services. As we speak, we'll actually take you through the names of everybody. We are going to take you through the presentation. We'll be talking on the introduction, giving you the overview of the statement, giving you the mandate and program performance. And then on the program performance, we'll have each DDG responding on each particular program, where we are and what we have achieved in terms of the annual report. And then we can go to the finances and we deal with the summary on conclusion. Just to reflect the first slide there, during the year under review, agriculture was faced with a number of food security issues. I think this is just a highlight. I think we all know all these four factors which have been there with us. And towards the end of 2008, there was a UN FAO reported basic inflation of about 10 to 18%, and this actually meant that it has got a lot of implications on the vulnerable communities. But also, I think we mentioned also that we, in terms of the sector review, we are continuing with our partnership with the sector on the United and Prosperous Agricultural Sector. We are currently working with them to do the implementation plan on the sector review. But also, I think some of the things we highlighted in the slide talks on our land and agrarian reform program, which actually highlighted the four principles there, which I highlighted, and also the priority allocation of resources towards increasing production. I think that occurred last year when we had a campaign on Lithema Ilima. Now, the strategic objective is we focus on to ensure availability and access to sufficient, safe, nutritious food, eliminate skewed participation, increasing the growth, enhancing sustainable resource management, ensuring efficient and effective governance and partnerships, ensuring knowledge and information management, and ensuring national biosecurity and the effective risk management. There were also, I think, other issues which I mentioned earlier on in terms of the economic crisis and agriculture. Continuance of that, we had the effects of agriculture have been minimal compared to other sectors of the economy. We did the comparisons with the financial sector. Agriculture as a basic necessity, demand for food is relatively income inelastic. And also there was a positive agricultural trade balance. It was still experienced in 2008 following a deficit in 2007. The quantity of exports also increased by more than 900,000 tons. However, agriculture has been affected mainly in the following ways. Decline in agricultural growth by 17.1% during 2001 in the quarter two. 36,000 jobs were lost in agriculture in quarter one in 2009. Consumer preference shifts away from beef and mutton to poultry and other low-cost products. Mm-hmm. I think it was actually some of these decisions coming from the NMC and together with the South Africa. The production of beef also suffered, showing a decline of about 3.8% in 2008, and consumption of wheat declined by 12.7%. But just on that graph, which actually reflects how the agricultural sector output and agricultural growth rate, and the graph itself, the red part showing the percentage change, and which shows that South Africa agricultural sector was actually resilient during the years. And because of the fact that agriculture is taken as a basic necessity, you see those fluctuations in terms of the red line along the from 2001, I think, till the in 2009. Now, in terms of the economic crisis, I think the graph itself just shows you the comparisons of beef, mutton, pork, and poultry, what has been happening in the market, and also showing that there has been the demand for livestock products recently, and also mutton and beef, surely. They were really affected during the 2008, and we had a growth in the poultry products where there was a high demand for that. Now, also, I think some of the challenges, there was extreme price volatility, which could not be ruled out in coming years, putting the poor at risk, and we are fully aware of that, and we are looking into mechanisms to address that. Since commodity prices have increased, become linked to oil energy costs, and also the more government efforts will be on strengthening food security. I think the issue around the Lithema and broadening that, the market access, infrastructure development, and investment in research. Some of the challenges highlighted, I think, where we say that one can just come up front and say we haven't done well, and other challenges which we're coming up front and say the issues in terms of allocation of resources to projects, the issue around monitoring and evaluation of implementation of projects, monitoring performance of the department, and data collection in quantifying some of the deliverables. we experience challenges in terms of having to quantify, you know, some of the projects which are implemented as to how many jobs have been created. But we are currently looking into a system to ensure that we address it. In addition, I think what will part to strengthen our partnership with the stakeholders, you find a situation where the private sector also is continuing with the empowerment program, but within the department we have no collection of state data from the sector itself. So what we'll do now, we'll then go through the program performance. We'll start first with the first program, which will be done by Administrator Mr. Liti, just to just give you the reflection of the constitution of the department. May I also at this moment indicate that what occurred in the last financial year is that ending March, end of March 2009, when the new DG was appointed, she restructured the department. And that is why you see that we brought such a big complement of people here, because it happened that there were some programs which were falling under one program or shifted under another program. So there's that challenge which we are having now. But I think we have actually organized ourselves to an extent that we are in a position to can answer the questions adequately. Can I now give over to Mr. Mbiti for administration?
Good morning, Chairman. Good morning, honorable members. Thank you, DG. As it indicates on the slide, the program takes responsibility for providing strategic leadership, including overall departmental strategy development, monitoring the implementation thereof, as well as overall organizational administration and governance. The highlights of the year under review are approved policies and strategies were managed and implemented through the efficient utilization of financial and human resources. I think the CFO will actually expand in terms of the financial responsibility. But what I've done is just to give the honorable members an overview of the employment equity in terms of race and gender. As you can see that mainly we comprise of African females, who are 55%. We have 22% of male Africans, and there is also a 17% vacancy rate. It's supposed to read only vacancy and not female. That's about the overview of the employment equity in terms of the departmental makeup. And then the next slide talks to the vacancy rate in terms of the last 3 years. The first year is 2006-2007, which was 18%. Followed by 13.6%, and then 2008-2009, 17%. Perhaps I should explain the reason why there was an upsurge in terms of the vacancy rate in 2008-2009. With the introduction of the what we call the PSC, personnel suitability checks, there was a delay in actually appointing people in their positions. Because number one, we had to look into five different areas in terms of suitability of the employees. These areas were qualifications, criminal records, employment records, credit standing, and then last one was security. Now because of we don't have this internally, we need to use NIA as our point of reference for criminal records and SACA in terms of qualifications. There is a delay in actually approving or finalizing the appointments. NIA promised to give us something like 2 weeks in terms of checking their criminal records. But unfortunately, they say because of the 2010, there are company departments that are priority departments like sports department, like foreign affairs, and so on. So we actually at the tail end of this priority list. As a result, our vacancy rate went up to 17%. But we are working on it. Currently, we are now sitting on 16.5%. And we are actually engaging with NIA to make sure that the vacancy rate comes down. That's about it, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
Can we then go to the protocol?
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members. Billy Morocco is my name as the acting DG, as indicated, taking responsibility in the acting capacity for the trade, the new name for the program, the trade and economic development, but in the old configuration, livelihood, economics, and business development. Basically, the thrust of the program, you know, concentrated on the development and the facilitation of the, you know, implementation of appropriate strategies and programs aimed at, you know, promoting access to the agricultural sector in the main, you know, project, you know, access to opportunities within the sector, as well as promoting shared growth in terms of the objectives stated within the ASFISA, you know, to say what is the role of agriculture in that respect, as well as the access to markets for South African agricultural products, both domestically, regionally, and internationally, through our units, the trade and marketing. And then the other element, or the other arm of the program, was looking into the promotion of broad-based economic empowerment, as commonly branded, as well as providing economic and statistical, you know, data upon which some of the graphs and the data that the SDG is actually planted, that the unit that generates, you know, those kind of numbers, and to monitor the economic performance of the sector. Again, a reference was made to the fact that we are in our trade position is quite, you know, positive. And again, in addition to those issues, Chairperson, we also responsible in line with the National Agricultural Marketing Council and Statistics South Africa, monitoring food prices through the South African Food Price and Monitoring Unit. And it's just to reflect on the highlights. The highlights that we want to reflect on is just to say that, you know, there's quite a number of reports that we have generated from our economic unit, highlighting the status of the sector in terms of whether we are in a net import position or an export position. So that becomes useful information to the, you know, to the citizens of the country, just to have a sense of where we are as a sector. Again, the issue around improving the crop, the forecast, becomes also much more important, because this is an issue that also relates to our trade and our marketing position, and, you know, we really have to be, you know, on the path in terms of forecasting the expected production needs of grain. The other highlight that may be worth mentioning is that in terms of the forecast, now we're within the 5% in terms of you know, accuracy, 95% accurate in terms of, you know, forecast. Also, Chairperson, that altogether 79,866 vulnerable households and emerging farmer groups were supported by means of the agricultural product tax as part of the household food production. And I think this part of the bullet point is clearly, you know, articulated in the annual report, where it gives quite a comprehensive report in terms of what was achieved. And in addition to this, again, Chairperson and honorable members, is that the department is also continuing to disseminate agricultural market information through the website, as well as through the cell phone, using MTN, CNC, and Vodacom to disseminate this kind of information. Now, zooming into the program specific, you know, deliverables, on the improvement of the livelihoods of farmers and entrepreneurs, there's a number that, in terms of the target, the program is targeted, you know, in a very, you know, bullish way, 7,000 farmers and entrepreneurs in access to financial services. But then, you know, through some challenges, the program only managed for the, you know, 49 farmers to access those kind of financial support. And I think we will, you know, delve into the kind of challenges that we experienced to, you know, leading towards, you know, meeting the challenge, I mean, the target there. If you can go open. The other deliverable was on the 80,000 land, I mean, the 80,000 land and urban reform beneficiaries who were supposed to be, you know, assisted through the CASP program. And in terms of that intention, the program managed to reach about 33,000, you know, beneficiaries. Then on the households, the vulnerable households, the target there was 70,000. And in terms of the program, 79,000 households were reached through the program, and there are some numbers in terms of the amount of money that was allocated to those areas. And coming to the training of entrepreneurs, as part of our business support development, the target there was about 100 entrepreneurs. But then in terms of the program, we had two pilot sites, one in the Pope and one in the Free State. And on average, we managed to, not on average exactly, 50 entrepreneurs in the Pope were trained on the internet model, as well as 50 farmers in the Free State. Those, through our interventions, we managed to reach, the target. Could you go to the next slide, please? On the training of farmers, is a target there of 1,100 farmers trained, and we only managed to do about 308. That was a joint program with the AgriCita, where AgriCita committed to finance the whole program to reach 1,100 farmers. But because of financial challenges and challenges, we only managed 300 because there was a bit of dependency there on AgriCita, bailing us out in terms of supporting that initiative. And in addition, Chair, in terms of our attempts to implement the pillar of AgriBEE around the partnership, the AgriBEE empowerment of women and youth, there was a number of interventions that were proposed, and in terms of that, not significant progress was made because of some challenges. But just safe to say that now, we have managed to clear some of the hurdles around implementing the full rollout of the program. The appointment of the Agribusiness Council has just been concluded, and I think they had their meeting quite recently. So I think and I hope that we're going to see some the progress being made in that regard. If you can go to the next slide. In terms of our collaboration with the industry partners, our point of interaction is mainly around the commodity strategy, where we have managed to develop the cotton strategy, the fruit industry plan, the livestock development plan, as well as the cotton strategy. So those have been finalized, and we really have now started to move ahead and take them towards full implementation. And coming to cotton, Chairperson, I think if you recall, we also, through that kind of collaboration, managed to host the International Cotton Advisory Council meeting, which was also taking place as part of the engagement that we have committed ourselves to work with the industry. And on the economic front, the economic side, we generate quite a number of reports as can be picked up from the report. The quarterly economic analysis report and the forecast, and the monthly analysis report in terms of the performance of the agricultural economy as a whole. The next slide. So those are the publications that we generated from the program. The fresh produce on the market, the trends in the agricultural sector, the quarterly crops and markets, and all those things that are reflected in the slide, Jefferson. The next one. I'm not going to delve too much into the challenges, because most of the challenges really need to turn up, and I don't think we want to. But just to say that the farmer register, we need to conclude or finalize the farmer register as one of the tools that will give us a clear sense and indication of the profile of the categories of farmers that we are dealing with. And I think once we have finalized that, we'll be able to interact quite closely and intimate with Statistics South Africa to have accurate numbers around the kind of people that we are dealing with here. Next slide. Yeah, Chairperson, I think that is in summary the kind of things that we have committed ourselves, and that is the extent of performance and delivery on the commitments taken in our strategic plan for 2008. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Morokolo. Program 3, which falls under my responsibility. I'll just give you the highlights there. I think what was actually the responsibility of the program is to manage the risk associated with animal diseases and cancer, the registration of GMOs and of products used in the agricultural field, and also responsible for ensuring food safety and security, to safeguard human health. And the program also develops the agricultural risk and disaster management plans to reduce risk associated with the natural resources. The highlights of the program as reflected in the annual report, we had a challenging sense of the outbreak of fruit flies but we did put in place the measures, contingency measures, to ensure that we manage the fruit fly. But also we also talked with the southern counterparts because it was spreading along the border through the Swaziland coming into South Africa. That's how the fruit fly was spreading. But we also held discussions with the SADC to ensure that we control the disease. In addition, we had additional scientific expertise was recruited and inducted for regulatory environment in order to strengthen the risk management capacity related to the GMO. We also, what we did was to stop the import from China, the meat substitute and meat, because of the challenge which we had with the melamine contamination. I think it was well publicized in the papers. We also had training manuals were developed for the fertilizer farm feeds and agricultural remedies. And they highlight that we also developed regulations regarding the grading, packing, and packaging of vegetables intended for sale in South Africa. And in addition to that, we also published the regulations for which covered 36 vegetable types. And those were published and are now under implementation. But in terms of our target, in terms of we had intended to come up with a biosafety regulatory guidelines that has been approved in principle by the GMO Council. During the registration, we have the GMO Council, which is there to oversee the work of the registration of GMOs in the country. It has been approved, and the Council on the 4th of March 2009 will be made available on the website once the GMO Amendment Act is actually enforced. I think this is something we can share with the portfolio committee. But also in terms of the border control inspection training manual, the final manual has been developed and completed. It is just waiting internal approval. The plant protection bill was withheld because of the challenge that when it was put forward, the bill itself didn't have a policy. And it was the decision of the former minister that we withhold the plant protection bill until we are clear in terms of policy on that. On the food and animal health and disaster management, we came up with the agricultural climate change sector plan, and that has been expected to be finalized at the end of the first quarter of 2009, and it has been done now. I think it will be reflected in the next financial year. There was some delay in terms of finalizing that. Now, on the food and animal health and disaster management, or the food safety control strategy on this particular one, we had agreed that we were going to first start with the country profile. And I think in the previous day when the acting DG Rampedi was the acting DG, we mentioned that we can engage the portfolio committee on the food safety strategy and the challenges and advantage of this. We've got a country profile which has been completed and it's been finalized. The primary animal health care, there was a delay in terms of the consultations with the provinces, but we do have a draft primary animal health care program which is available and we prioritize within the current financial year. Challenges and responses, I think those are highlighted in the slides 33 and 34, but I think most of the biggest challenge in this program is the staff turnover, which is occurring throughout because we are competing with the private sector and being able to keep the scientific capacity in the department. I think that's it. Can I then we move over to Mr. Hawk?
Thank you, Honorable Member. I think the program is production and resource management. The main purpose for the program is to develop strategies in order to optimize the cattle productivity and profitability within the cattle sector through sustainable use and protection of land resources. The highlights for the program is that many countries, we do not have plant variety protection framework in place to protect intellectual property of the country. So, as a department, we facilitated that process. We do have a country position and the guidelines on how it's going to be done. And also, because of importance, we need to facilitate access to protected plant varieties. A 3-day capacity building training event was hosted in South Africa to support SADC countries towards finalization and implementation of the relevant legislation. Also, a survey involving 700 emerging established cattle farmers was completed and published as part of National Livestock Support Program. This will be used to align the program with the real needs of the respondents. Also, a household food production model was developed aimed at increasing production of food crops at household level. This is one of the mitigating intervention measures against the high food prices through improved production efficiency at household level. And then under engineering, we had a major, we had to come up with an agriculture mechanism. At that time, it was targeted for the low-level energy use. We purchased the 200 power hoses, but the program was not continued because of the changes in the policy within the department. And also, we had to do the land use planning zoning program. That has been done on three local municipality zones, agroecological zones, Gauteng and Limpopo. The draft output for Gauteng and Limpopo province are available in complete in-field verification of all districts in both provinces. That has been done. And also, the mapping of subdivision of agricultural land act is completed, is also available in the AGIS. And also, we've got we have to have guidelines for irrigation development. I think 100,000 hectares are established and have stages. Literary rule has been complicated, drafts are compiled and approved. For agricultural production, we have to develop community bank as part of the conservation of indigenous. Also, we're targeted two gene banks. A status report is produced, second phase is underway, and planning of structure and other logistic requirements is in progress. Under animal breeding, we intended to distribute 500 breeding materials. Report on breeding materials distributed to emerging farmers was finalized. 145 bulls, 50 pregnant cows, and 3 1-1 heifers. A total of 506 breeding materials was distributed in Eastern Cape, Free State, Northwest, and Limpopo. Also, we've got community seed production schemes. Three schemes were established. This deliverable was finalized and the full report is completed. The schemes on sorghum, maize, and groundnuts, each scheme is made of an average of three projects and currently piloted in various districts, Limpopo and Mpumalanga. These schemes are done in partnership with ARC, Stanto, and the PDA. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Agile Tisi, and I'll be reporting on the program Effectiveness and Partnerships. The program manages and coordinates intergovernmental, stakeholder, and international commissions, agricultural education and training, extension and advisory services, as well as research and technology development. The measurable objective is to maximize growth in the sector by providing support services to emerging and established farmers, including women, youth, and the disabled, through targeted skills development extension and technology development programs. The highlights of the program are a mentorship program was implemented with 12 commodity organizations, altogether a total of 4,668 beneficiaries received mentorship support, covering a total of 182 projects. We developed the National Agricultural Research Agenda, which is about to be completed. An agreement was signed with the FAO on sustainable food production and nutritional education in schools in support of the National School Nutrition Program. And we entered into bilateral agreements with a number of African countries where we were involved with the implementation of the African Agricultural Development Program, particularly within SADC, where we promoted food security and agricultural production, as well as the African Green Revolution, where we're trying to minimize the negative impact of high food prices in the region. Performance, the first output is training, research, and extension support programs. We had planned to have 3,000 black entrepreneurs receiving targeted training as well as research and support by March 2009. And what we achieved was that we implemented 12 commodity organizations, mentorship with 12 commodity organizations, and those organizations are Citrus Growers Association, the Cane Growers Association, NERPO, the South African Wine Industry Council, the National Wool Growers Association, Milk Producers Association, Organization, the South African Olive Industry, the South African Bee Industry Association, and make a difference. In terms of norms and standards for agricultural training institutions, we developed the norms and standards with sector partners. The norms and standards have been developed, have been discussed, extent we have actually completed that. A budget of 50 million has been approved for the implementation in the 2011-2012 financial year. Next is the structured partnership with local and international stakeholders in support of black entrepreneurs. We have an agreement that was signed with the cotton industry, and this work links up with what Mr. Morokola has indicated, and a strategy is in place, and we are awaiting implementation as we have indicated. The directorate initiated and facilitated several meetings with the fruit industry also in the Western Cape and South Africa Sugar Association. Also, a strategy on engagement with national and international public and private sector stakeholders. A document has been postponed to the 2009-2010 financial year, and this is mainly due to the fact that a driver was not in place in the form of the director. Challenges and responses under education, training, and assessing services. The main challenge really has been the budget, and I think we had reported previously that the request that was submitted, particularly for driving the extension services, was allocated together with the access to recovery plan budget and transferred to the provinces. So we've again submitted a request so that we can finance the activity in the national department. In terms of international relations, I've already indicated that there is a human capacity problem there, and that the way we are going to respond to that is engage in capacity building and actually fill the post of the director of international relations. Under research and technology development, we are experiencing problems in securing appointments with relevant contact people at the universities and colleges, and we are addressing that by making consistent follow-up and giving people time ahead of time so that these meetings can be scheduled. The other problem is that there is a negative perception by investors of the purpose of the department investigating the status of provincial research centers, and we are working with the stakeholders on that. And I will conclude this. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we go to the financial expenses?
Good morning, Chairperson and the members of the committee. On the financial statements 2008-09, the first slide there will reflect on the audit report of 023. This irregular expenditure resulted from non-compliance of section 38.1J of the PFMA, in the sense that when transfer payments are made, the department had to make sure that the recipient of the payment do meet with the requirements in the sense of controls are in place, the systems in place. And these payments that were made, the total amount of 15.592 million was made to the University of Stellenbosch, NATFAS, the Citrus Fruit Producers Trust, and the National Movement of Rural Women. And these payments were made in terms of memorandum of understanding of agreement signed. And in previous years, it was also made in this way. And then this was picked up by the Auditor General and reported. And then we have rectified the situation, so that in future all transfer payments will meet with section 38.1J requirements. We also submitted a condolence to National Treasury, and this request is under consideration by National Treasury. On emphasis, I mean on other matters, risk assessment has been reported. It was last done in 2006, and the department undertook a decent process to run a risk assessment again during this financial year 9-10. If we look at the performance assessment, our performance information, it was also reported by the AG that the department's performance information is not up to standard at the moment, and we are currently working on that on 09-10. And the main four focus areas in this regard, which the AG highlighted, was the lack of effective, efficient, and transparent systems with internal controls regarding performance management. The second area is the usefulness and reliability of reported performance information. The third area, reported performance information was not relevant, and the fourth one, reported information not reliable. As I said, the department is currently working on this so that the performance information management in the annual report in future will be improved. If you look at the actual spending, I'm skipping this slide for a moment and I'm going to the next one. The next one outlines the total budget situation and expenditure of the department. In our main estimate was 2.5 billion. Funds rolled over that was approved 186 million. In the adjustment estimate, we received 216.7 million. So the total amount appropriated for this financial year of 89 was 2.937 billion, less the actual expenditure of 2.847 billion. So we sit with an unspent funds or a surplus of 89.8 million. Now I'm going back to the previous slide to report on this 89.8 million underspent. This was due to the classical swine fever claims that were still outstanding by the provincial department of the Eastern Cape of Agriculture. It was at the end of the financial year 20.335 million. At the moment, claims has been received up to now in this current financial year, and the claims still to be cleared is at the moment 10.276 million. Now, in the another project in the Eastern Cape under Goose Services, a fencing project of 1.003 million due to the service provider not able to conclude the activities was not spent in full, so the 1.003 million was then also requested as a rollover, which was approved. And then the capital projects through the public works department, which was 3.485 million not spent. And that was also requested for rollovers, which was approved. And then the 60 million, the chunk of the amount not spent, and that was due to a MOU to be signed by the Development Bank of South Africa. And at a very large date of the financial year, the Development Bank indicated they're not prepared to sign this. This was for Lima and the FEMA projects. Initially, the 60 million was supposed to go to the Development Bank for a Lambatsi project. But then there was a change in terms of the ministerial and the DG's requesting for the fund money be reallocated to other projects so that in wider spread over the provinces and not only going to the Eastern Cape province. And in terms of that MOU, the Development Bank was supposed to act for the department as a fund manager, but they were not prepared to do so. So at the very last day of the financial year, second last day, they indicated no, they're not prepared to sign. So these amounts that was just now mentioned was beyond the department's control. And only the amount of 5.054 million was in the control of the department that was not spent. So this gives you then, if you take that into account, is 0.2% of the budget not being spent. Now we're going on, and I'm going to take you through the programs in terms of appropriation and actual expenditure. We start with administration. The total appropriation was 301.6 million, actual expenditure 297.4%, percentage spent for the financial year 28.6, so they sit with a surplus of 4.2 million. In the program livelihoods, economics and business development, the final appropriation was 751.4, actual expenditure 748.4, percentage spent 99.6, so unspent 2.9. Then in biosecurity and disaster management, total 610.2, actual expenditure 589, so percentage 96.6, per day was 21. And then in terms of reduction resources and management, 480 million, spent 418 million, percentage spent 87.3, and the 61.1. The 60 million of the DBSA was in this program. And then the sector services and partnerships, 794.3 million, was the appropriation, the expenditure 793.8, so the percentage 99.9, 503,000. The total picture for the department then was again the 2.9 billion, actual expenditure 2.8, so 96.9% that was spent for the department. If we quickly, chairperson, go to the actual spending for economic classification, then you will see in terms of compensation of employees, 509 million appropriated, actual expenditure 508.6, percentage 99.9, a surplus of 428,000. Goods and services 475.4, the actual expenditure 473.6, percentage spent 99.6, so it's 1.7 million. Transfers and subsidies were the main bulk of the department's budget lines to cover for the transfer payments and including the Division of Revenue Act payments. 1.895 billion appropriation, expenditure 1.813 billion, percentage 95.7, so 82. Again, the 60 million is also being reflected here, and the 20 million for the classical science. Then a payment for capital assets. Final appropriation was 57.4 million. Actual expenditure 52 million. We managed to spend 90.8. Taking all the problems that we have with the Department of Public Works, and the surplus was 5.3 million. Now to the very last slide on the financials, and this is just for information purposes for the committee. And this is the procurement. How did it went? How was it spent? And this is in terms of the monthly reporting to National Treasury. The contracts was allocated as follows. Black Enterprises, 46 million, that's 14.5%. White Women Owned Enterprises, 3.948 million, 1.3%. And then in additional information that was submitted to the committee, we also added the Black Women Owned Enterprises, that was 30.8 million, 8.87%. And then the non-HDI enterprises, historical disadvantaged individuals, was 267 million, or 84%. So the total value of the contracts that the department awarded in the 08-09 year was 347.9 million. Thank you.
Yes, I think in summary, we go back to the slide 50. I think the department tries to align functions, particularly with regard to the Department of Rural Development, that is now called Rural Development and Land Reform, and at times it's called Land Affairs. And I think we came up with the mechanism of the Land and Environment Reform Program to try and align activities, because we picked up there was a challenge that the purchasing of the land and some of the work done by the Rural Development Department were not coordinated with the department. And that was one of the things which I think we tried to address that. But also, we looked at the targets. Our targets, when we set our targets, as mentioned in different programs, one thing which we have picked up now is that the targets themselves were not done in consultation with the provinces. That's why you find that in certain instances, you get high targets, but in terms of the deliverables on the ground, it's quite minimal. There's a challenge. And in terms of our community strategic planning session, we have agreed that we are doing that, the 5-year plan with the provinces, and we'll be finalizing that with the provinces soon. But also we picked up that the restructuring, which I mentioned that on which was conducted in November, created some uncertainties and some challenges for us, because programs were also moved around, and we also have highlighted the fact that the new financial year will coincide with a new term of government, which actually currently the new minister, that she wants us to make sure that all the targets which we put on our track plan are well articulated and supported by the provinces, because you need that commitment from the provinces because of this concurrent nature of our function. But in conclusion,
I think that we have serious challenges around the agri-BEE. We are trying to address that now. I think we have seen the paper, which actually the 2 weeks ago. And on the biosecurity and disaster management, I think on the biosecurity side, because of the outbreaks of diseases and the issues around the climate change, we've got to see a lot of movement of vectors which causes outbreaks of diseases. Like, for instance, the one on the American fall route, which the portfolio committee requested the information previously, and we provided that information. But on the disaster management, the biggest challenge is turnaround time. And we are trying to address that now with the treasury, because the turnaround time is not good. We find that we wait first for the provinces to do assessment on the ground after disaster, which some of the provinces are doing well and some not. And because we rely on the systems which are there on the provinces, and we are trying to address that and ensure that we reduce the turnaround time with regard to responding to the disasters particularly. We are intending and we're working with the sector to ensure that we grow the sector. And I remember the comments of the economist Schuchner saying that if you look into investment for the future, we have to invest in agriculture now. And we're looking more into the Agricultural Research Council, particularly the ARC, and some of our institutions like the OVP particularly, because you find that despite the work which they do and they attempt to do, we realize that I think we haven't done much in terms of investment into those sectors. You saw the statistics in terms of the supply chain management. When the focus on women, we have to improve on that. And as mentioned by Ms. Pitti, the issues around international relations we are having, we agreed 2 weeks ago, the 23rd, that we have to focus on our international relations. We discussed the issue around the challenges which happens normally when we have the national, the province, and the local government going into a particular country, all of them at the same time, but not talking to one another. So we'll be having a short workshop sometime in November to talk with through MINMEC to try and address that so that we come up with guidelines on international relations, which will assist us to be able to support each other, either from the national up to the local level, so that we don't go and sign agreements without informing one another. Those are the issues which actually we are focusing on. The issue of market access and opening the trade, when you look in our analysis which was done by the NMC, we've recognized that over the past 15 years, we have been focusing mainly on the main traditional markets like the EU. We haven't actually explored opportunities which are existing in terms of the new markets. And our focus for the next 5 years will be looking into new market opportunities for us to be able to grow the sector. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Christine. Because of the time and we are behind the schedule, we want to have internet.
Thank you very much, Mr. President, and I want to thank the department for the report, but I also need to say it up front that I think the delegation from the department numbers about 15 people. We are a poor country. We have millions of people who go to bed hungry at night. I think we must be very, very careful in how we spend our money. There's been statements by leaders that we should look at whether flights are really necessary, etc., etc. Leave it to the departmental head to look at this very seriously. Chairperson, I want to start off page 115 of the annual report. Under irregular expenditure, whilst the acting CFO has tried to explain the 15.5 million and the fact that the MOUs and that sort of stuff was not all in order, there is here an amount which is shown, and then it says here, incident, disciplinary steps taken, criminal proceedings. I would like to know against whom have disciplinary steps been taken and criminal proceedings instituted, and what was the offences that these people had committed, for what offences? And what was the outcome of the disciplinary steps as well as the criminal proceedings? Aligned with this, it's all in the papers. I get more information out of the papers than I get out of the department sometimes, I say with all due respect. There was this issue of one of the very senior people, a DDG, who was who owned two IDs with two different dates of birth. That particular official, I understand, has been suspended. Whether any action is pending against that official? If so, what kind of action? Whether it's disciplinary, whether it's criminal proceedings, we would like to know. Chairperson, with regard to on page 61 of the report, you talk of the redistribution of the 5 million hectares to 10,000 new agricultural producers. And you failed to say that that was supposed to have been done in 2 years. That was what was told to us at that time. And I worked it out at that time. It worked out to, if you take 730 days, including holidays, which we just, 730 gives you 2 years. Including holidays, you would have had to resettle 13 point something new agricultural producers per day to reach that target. Can you perhaps tell us how many were settled? What form of assistance have you given to them? Whether those people that were settled are still on the land, whether they are still continuing to make a living? The swine fever compensation. Chairperson, we must remember that the majority of the people that were affected by the swine fever and who lost their pigs are poor people, many of them subsistence people. And you cannot have a situation where poor people have to wait for so long in order to get that assistance. And the same happens when it's a drought and certain other natural disasters. The people wait 3-4 years before they can get assistance. Believe me, many of them are then totally out of existence as far as farming goes. You say that there's been the acting DG. You say that there's been a 17% decline in the growth in the agricultural sector. How is the department addressing this matter, along with job losses in the sector? In program two, according to the DLA, 49% of farmers who receive land through restitution have paid. That's what the DG told us at a meeting, the DG of the DLA at that time. Now, what role is the department playing in revitalizing those farms? Bearing in mind that you have made statements here about food security and optimal usage of land, etc., etc. And what is the impact of misuse of agri BEE funds on this particular program and in the sector in general? Chairperson, I have many questions, but if you give us another round, I'll take another bite at the cherry. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Honorable President. If you look at the price of the price, I don't know if you're
Can the department explain and give a justification of the continuity of the service when it was supposed to have qualified and skilled personnel to be present? And the huge amount of funding spent for consulting, the department has educated that are supposed to have those care skills that are required.
We shall hand over to the department for the ground.
Thank you, Chair. Let me just start back to the delegation. I think we happen to be having a confirmation earlier on that we happen to be having two meetings happening today with the Minister of Community in the DG in terms of the program. But also the other reason for the big delegation is the fact that they, as I've said, that we had some problems which were shifted around of our member, for instance, in terms of the Agri-BE. Did not talk, but I think we agreed that because he was a manager responsible for everything, we would have to come here. We also, in addition to that, we have Mr. Hyatt and the lady who's here to ensure that he answers questions around the trusted part. I think there was that challenge which was here, which posed a lot of issues for us. And that's why I tried to explain, and that's why the big delegation we are doing here. So what we'll do is that, yes, we thank them for productivity, and I think we'll try to make sure that we manage that in the future to ensure that we bring about people who are relevant and who are supposed to make implementation to the portfolio committee. Can I then request Mr. Mitty to answer the issue, the question asked by Honorable Evans on the criminal record and offences, and also the question which was asked around the Dr. Mshatan.
Thank you, Acting DG. Thank you, Chair. In terms of the investigation around the Dr. Mshatan, I can tell you that he was actually dismissed after his new hearing was in the department. And then thereafter, he appealed against his dismissal, which appeal went to the bargaining council. And in the bargaining council, the matter was settled out of court. But I must also emphasize that the land bank is actually pursuing the criminal case at
paid leave. So the matter is in the hands of the landlord. But we are giving all the support that we can. So at this point in time, the matter is still under investigation by the landlord. But we also argue that they're taking too long, but we are asking the investigators to speed up the matter.
Talk on the one on the information from Honorable Evans. I think we're finding proof of the communication. And we were just talking about the issue that I think maybe we might need to come into the check. The hotline that, for instance, if we have updates of the business, we also send the information to the check so that you are aware you don't give the newspaper information on the newspapers. Our chief communication officer is here also, who will try to ensure that most of the sensitive and highlights we try to ensure that we brief you in advance prior to the incident to get the information from the newspaper. Can we then go to the patient paper one in terms of the people who are performing the second and the issues I learned about now? I'm going to ask Manasi to actually answer, but just to give you the pillars of land and corona reform program, remember that that was done in consultation with the Land Affairs Department. The target which they reflected that it was the Land Affairs people. We are supposed to be answering on the four pillars which are there. I'm not running away from that. I'll try to first maybe add on this, but I think the issue is the target of settling 10,000 farmers was determined by the Land Affairs Department. Samarati, can you elaborate on that?
The target was set by both departments when we were still 1 minute, when we were still at the department. So Land Affairs was going to be responsible for the land acquisition part and agricultural state responsibility on the support part to ensure that those people are not going to be.
Thank you. Next one is the question on
in terms of national placement framework, we cannot budget for the disaster. So, in terms of the disaster management, we are talking about the disaster system. We have the legal side of the system. We have also seen the communication report that whenever a disaster strikes, the department with national placement is allocated contribution to the budget so that the department will, through the process of the judicial department, and then the university to these funds. The effect of this idea, the starting example, in the adjustments of this financial, this flood, and the outcome of the disaster in which the security is occurred, has occurred in the end of the last financial year. And we have included our request to National Treasury, and the National Treasury has put in customer adjustment estimates, and now already granted the department approval to spend against the national allocated, not to wait for adjustment estimates, but both to Parliament for appropriation and signed by President. So we are working on that, we know of that, and wherever we can engage with national treasury and try to explore the process. We talk on the classical science team the committee members want to remember that in terms of this is what happened about 3 years ago or we complained about it. And the department was allocated money on this budget. And then the process worked in this way that the department had gone to the amount that was appropriated for compensation to the farmers to the Eastern Cape Department. The Eastern Cape Department then received the undercurry, they received the claims from the relevant farmers in the rural area, and then they processed it to the veterinary office and the administration office. And then they make the money available, the post office for the agent. And then they make the money available to the post office, and the farmer went to the post office to work his explain the interplay with his remuneration to stand. And then the provincial department had to with all these kinds of departments, processing infections, being subjected to the national department with the advance that was made available to the group of. So, what happens now is this financial year, there was still outstanding the treaty of advancing that was instituted in the department as a supreme convention. And that thing was outstanding. We had a meeting last week with the department, and according to James, all the administration has been compensated. Is that the process of the claims that we receive back from the trial and coming from the post office and reporting that that is the department?
Just in
the decision
in terms of what is, you know,
called
to manage
this
individual assessment on the farm, because what has been happening is that our system will be waiting for government to do the assessment and then come with a report and then we evaluate and record funding from national tragedy. But if we look at the trends, we find the provinces which are doing very well and those which are not doing well in terms of assessing immediately in terms of disaster. So we have established in each province that we have a unit on disaster management which can immediately be employed to those areas to ensure that they assist the farmers and also do assessment. I think we might need to do and give you the information in terms of the notification of those particular officers which are there in the provincial department going for personnel who are really responsible for disaster management. But how we handle that also is the issue around us being in a position to deploy people when we have a disaster like we do with alcohol diseases. Under the natural resources, which was not happening like that, where we can resource, get other people from other provinces and send them to the disaster, to get be in a position to handle that. So the strong provinces will then be able to assist those which are weak. And I give an example, the struggles around the Northwest and the Limpopo province as compared to the Western Cape province, which does their work very well. So we, using those models that we utilize, systems which are there, assistance from other provinces so that we can work and with each other to be able to can act and react fast so that by the time we submit the report to the additional tragedy, the turnaround time then becomes within 2 weeks. Because we saw that previously it used to happen within 14 days and we are looking into that again. Can I then request the city to talk on the issue of the participation of the funds that we are doing now? We know the challenges with regards to the failure of 49%.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The Minister actually came to present the portfolio of policy in September. She started off by announcing the investment package for the distressed funds that were supported by the land bank. We did submit to the portfolio committee then that the package that the minister was proposing would include immediate assistance with farming inputs that would coincide with the planting season and provision of relief to farmers that were in arrears on production loan held with the land bank. We presented the conditions for support, which has included that the provinces would assign the extension officers so that the farmers are exposed to training, they are monitored on a regular basis, that the extension officers would also work in collaboration with commodity organizations to ensure that as the farmers produce, they also have access to market for their produce, that the land bank officials operating in the areas where the support would be happening also work with extension officers and community organizations, and that we were also proposing that farmers enter into strategic partnerships where necessary, so that farmers also that farmers participate in compulsory capacity building interventions. We also indicated to the portfolio committee then that we had already undertaken an assessment of the 27 funds which were considered to be worthy of
contribution. Point of order, Chair.
Point of order.
This was not my question.
Oh.
My question was very specific. That 49% of farmers who receive land for restitution have failed. And that's what the DG of Land Affairs told us. What Mrs. Titi is now referring to is are those people who through other means obtain farms and obtain land bank loans and who are unable to service their loans. And that there was an intervention by the Department of Agriculture which the minister came and told us. But that's not what we're asking. What we are asking is that bigger picture where 49% of the restituted farms have failed, and we want to know what is the department's role in helping to revitalize them. If there is a role, tell us. If you don't have a role, tell us. Thank you.
Perhaps maybe just to highlight what we are doing as a department in terms of business, we are working on the production. We are going to assist farmers with the production implements, particularly currently now we've just advertised the tender. We're looking into the seed and the fertilizer because you know very well that the inputs currently are quite high. We will be assisting because now it's going to be now because we are planning to do it. If we don't do it now, we'll be, you know, missing this current season. And that's the position in terms of what we are doing. I don't know whether Ms. Titi wants to add on that. I think that's what the department is doing now.
I think that this happens because Titi, what we are referring to is actually what I was talking about. Focusing on farmers that are land reform beneficiaries. And in addition, they have secured production loans from the land bank. Those are the farmers that they are assisting with the items that the expertise. But with respect to restitution, I'm sure members know that there has always been problems because there's always been a large group of coming together. Some are involved in agriculture, but no, some are not. And this is part of what we have to work with Land Affairs now, the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, on identifying which are those funds, where are they, which ones are going to participate. Because as the Honorable Minister said, this is a very big problem, and we need to work with Land Affairs also. Because they were not on our books, but it's on our books of the redistribution and funds, and those are the ones that we are initially targeting for the intervention that the minister is announced. I'm not sure.
I think it will follow also the format of the Land and Rural Reform Program, but because we signed the MOU with Land Affairs previously to ensure that we coordinate the things, because what Land Affairs used to do is to run in purchasing farms without informal agriculture, and second people and agriculture coming in later on, because our program of CAS, particularly for the support of the Land Reform Program, was actually done in different ways. What we have done is to ensure that that part, in terms of the evaluation of the business plan, in addition to what the city is saying, is done in conjunction with Land Affairs and also ensuring that we don't have a gap in terms of the time frame between Land Affairs and agriculture in terms of responding to some of the problems which are there in giving the people the land. Hope that I've covered it. Okay. On the question of the page, the issue about the expenditure for the ministry, Mr. Pretorius, Honorable Pretorius, in fact, when you look at all the international travel, we take cognizance of what we've said in terms of international travel. What we have done now in terms of, because all the management in the department used to travel business class, we've cut on that. It's only the DG and the DVDs who are traveling business class. Okay? We've cut that to deal with it. But we look at the expenditure of the minister in terms of the international travel. As reflected, all those organizations and the business under page 8, which are highlighted there in the annual report, those which are highlighted in the annual report are actually those organizations which are relevant to agriculture. You look at the purpose of each and every one of them, the issue of the celebration that there was China, we've got a very strong relationship. And maybe I should start by saying, our international travel in the department is guided by 6 pillars. Okay? The first one is the issue around people to people. The second one is about partnerships, creating partnerships internationally. The third one is about training. The fourth one is technology transfer. The fifth is the trade, issues of trade. And the sixth is the issues around the global goods, where now we have to actually comply in terms of certain conventions which we have signed within the department. But also to highlight that all these organizations, the second one is talking about the one of Tokyo on the International Africa Conference, which is related to agriculture. You look at the third one, also it's related to agriculture. On sustainable development, we look into the one, the next one, is related to agriculture in the issues and the discussion of the international conference. The minister was invited to go to the climate change and bioenergy conference. The next one is attendance of the 20th African Regional Conference of FAO. We are members of the Food and Agriculture Organization. And the next one also is the SADC meeting, which was convened in Zambia, when Zambia was still chairing the SADC. And it was the issue of the task force. Our minister was actually requested to kind of deliver a paper on food security, how we can actually deal with the issue of food security. The next one is the Geneva one, is the WTO, where agricultural issues are very hot on the agenda, and that's why the minister attended. And then we had the one in Munich in Germany, where the minister went to talk about the partnerships which we're trying to create with Germany with regard to the issues around food security. The next one is India, New Delhi, where the minister, it was the IPSA conference, which is the drive for the government now, that part and parcel of a South-to-South relations. We also engage on IPSA. The next one is the one on Milan. In the discussions, and it was an international food festival, the minister was invited, I know that, and actual minister attended that. And the last one is the one on the GPOC marketing, the one it was in Zimbabwe, when we're looking into mechanisms of assisting our neighbor, which is Zimbabwe, with regard to some of the measures which they need to put in place to improve issues of food security. Then we go to page 26. When we start to address the international organization, may I highlight the importance of international organization? Some of the international organizations are standard setting bodies. And those international organizations we have to attend, because when we leave some countries to continue creating standards which have got an impact on developing countries, we're going to be left out. I want to give an example. Some years ago, there was a meeting which was convened, I think about 3-4 years ago, where the plant health, our department could not participate in the meeting, where there was an issue regarding how to package wood, what kind of wood is going to be used in terms of import and export. We did not attend the meeting. We missed. We had to come at the end to actually not agree with that particular standard which was set at the IPPC with the International Plant Protection Convention. That is very important. And I want to highlight those standard setting bodies, which is for animal health. The first one, the Office Internationale de Duties, and then we go to the one on Office Internationale de la Vinavi, the one which sets standards on wine and vines. The next one is the issue of consultative group of intellectual agriculture. That one focuses mainly the CGIR on the research, but the standard setting there, we've got also the Codex Alimentarius, which is also, we are a member of the Codex Alimentarius under, is actually captured under the FAO. So I'm saying that some of them, they attend, I think the question around is they look for money. The issue here is that most of the standard setting bodies, we're going for money. We also attended to ensure that our interests, we can ensure that our interests are articulated properly. We are not left out in terms of standard setting for trade, particularly with regard to sanitary and phytosanitary methods in agricultural because if we don't participate, we'll be left out. Now, with regard to the WTO, in terms of the sanitary, the SPS committee, we attend that 4 times a year, and that's where also there, when there are disputes on international trade, we have officials also attending to ensure that South Africa's interests, but also Africa's interests, and developing countries' interests, is actually articulated well at those standard setting bodies. Then we look into other international organizations which currently we are looking into that. We are reviewing, like I indicated, that Minimax has decided that we are going to discuss the issue of international relations, but also our interest in contribution to international standards and international bodies. We've got certain international bodies now where we are evaluating the value for money. For instance, we know that
we've got the CGIR Institute, for instance, which is the consultative group for international agricultural research, where we are allocating different institutes. We've got the one for water, the one for livestock, where we're evaluating this. But one other thing which we've picked up in terms of analysis now is that we haven't utilized some of the programs which are there for us to realize the value for money. For instance, some of the CGIR Institute give opportunities for member countries who can train their students for PhD and special courses. And we've been talking about the scientific capacity, and we did an analysis and we said we haven't actually utilized it, and I think that's where now we'll be able to articulate the issues around the value for money. I don't know whether Ms. Sisi, do you want to add to this or you want to cover this? Thanks, Chair, on that one. We then go to the issue of the fruitless expenditure. Mr. Fender.
Thank you, Chairperson and DG. The fruitless expenditure detected on page 116 is 74,000 pounds. In respect of accommodation, and the department these offices start for in the Downcourt Medical Center in Downcourt. Now, the department faced with this situation that these offices were rented for the agricultural debt inspectors that goes out and on the farms and check on the securities for those for that debt. The department that the cards are rented, and the department that got the responsibility to collect in terms of the previous loans by that. Now, the department followed the approach that wherever this is a declining function, in the sense that we started the work way back in 1997 with about 1.2 billion, and the amount now outstanding is also reflected in the report is in order of $300. So the department is doing its job, and that's why it's a declining sense of the collection. And this is also a question check on the staff that the department uses. So the department follows the approach that whenever a post becomes vacant of these people that is managing this debt, including the debt inspector, then the department evaluates the position if there is a need to fill the post. If not so, then the department abolishes the post. So what happened here in Glasgow, that the department had the lease agreement, and the lease agreement was supposed to during the financial year, I haven't got the correct date, but it's more of September, October. And then the two staff members remaining, there was three staff members. In the beginning of the financial year, one staff member resigned. Then another staff member went on pension. And then the third staff member also resigned. And this happened five to six months before the end of the contract. So the department was faced with this situation. Should the department now employ people, bring them from Victoria to Glasgow just to run out into the contract? So the department took the decision that is not economical, so the department then ended the contract. And then for the remaining period, this 74,000 terms of the contract, the department had to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Giovanni. We go to Honorable William Specials regarding the vacancy rate in submitting. And we deal with the issue of intent and budget, what we are doing, and also deal with the issue of the HR strategy, and then we'll come to back to us to talk about the consultants and the use of the funding. The committee first.
Thank you, Acting DG. Thank you, Chair. In terms of the vacancy rate, I must say that we have a strategy in place. As I said earlier, we are being hampered by the PSC, or personal stability check, which is actually of our control. We have contacted NIA to say we want to speed up the process, and they are also playing game with us. But in terms of the strategy, we have established what we call an organizational development committee. This committee meets at least once a month to monitor the creation and the filling of posts. In terms of the strategy, if a post is not filled within 3 months, we call in the relevant director, we ask the questions why the post hasn't been filled. If there is no good reason for that, then the money is taken away. The post is then cancelled. In other words, it means if you can look out the post for 3 months, it means you don't need the post. So we use the money for somebody else who requires the money. The next
point is we have what you call a JE or a Job Evaluation Coordinating Strategy, where all the provinces and national departments meet on a quarterly basis to ensure that there is stability within the department and the provinces. In terms of that, we make sure that all the posts that are of equal value are on the same salary level. In other words, we're trying to discourage people from running from the provinces to national and other way around, because all those posts must be on the same level in terms of salary. And then the big issue about the interns. In terms of our policy, we want to absorb at least 20% of the interns that are being trained by the department. As of last year, end of March, we actually absorbed 32 interns out of a total of 161. So we are actually trying to absorb all the interns that are there. But there is no guarantee that they will be absorbed, but we are trying our best to make sure that all the interns are looked after before we go outside and employ from outside. Thank you.
We'll deal with the question of consultants with the independent, but I want him first to talk on the new professor.
This refers now to note 5.3 on page 104, where in terms of scroll items, it has been indicated there in terms of which scroll item payments are made. Like, for instance, your business and advisory services, infrastructure and planning, laboratory services, legal costs, contractors, agency and support and outsourced services. And that amount is then a total amount of 152 million. I do not have the detail in that in terms of payments to the companies. But if the committee so requires, then we can make this available and get it from the relevant expenditure reports in terms of this category that is provided to the committee.
I think what we have done now is that we're trying to make sure that the consultants, when they come in at the end of the contract, they don't create a job for themselves again. That you find that in certain instances, consultants want their contract to be extended. But we have done away with that part of a principle and agreed that, you know, when the consultants are there, they do their job weekends or the limited time frames and reduce the number of consultants in the department. Thank you, I'm not sure now. Are all the questions been answered?
No.
Right, the
can I just take it from the top?
Chair, on page 115, I specifically asked whether any disciplinary steps were taken. And then I also asked about the former DDG. But the main question was whether disciplinary steps were taken, as stated here, under irregular expenditure, item 25, right at the bottom. They say the incident was disciplinary steps taken, criminal proceedings. Now, I don't know. There is another note here which says non-compliance to supply chain management procedures. So are you saying that no steps were taken because of non-compliance? If so, why? But that was my question. And then payments in respect of the MOUs, are you also saying that nothing was done about it? Because it is said here, none. So I just want to be clear. I mean, by a dom, I want to be clear. Why is that being said? The other two questions that are not answered yet is a 17% decline in the growth of the agricultural sector. And how is the department addressing this matter along with job losses in the sector? And the other question that was not responded to is the impact of the misuse of Agri-BEE funds on the program 2 and the sector. And Chair, regarding that one response that we received, the revitalization of restituted farms, I accept from the response that I got, which is to me a non-response, that the department does not have a plan. Thank you, Chair.
We would like as a portfolio committee very clear transparency. And the answer of the problem is not very clear. Because there is no fact that the code can just be cut from this organic. While there is a report that says there must be an increase in the capacity of director. While there is less capacity. While there is lack of staff, it doesn't make sense. And we would like that those responses that the department is telling us that they will give us a response in due time. In due time is not the time frame. Let us say by the 11th of November, we want that response, a certain response is in our kitchen home. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honorable member. For us,
Mr. Chair, I think just in connection with these questions that were asked, I would like to also support them, but I would like to maybe add on the vacancies that we, especially on the veterinary services, we see that they report a high turnover of veterinary services in the direct goods. And we've also heard that they are, that the department is planning or the ministry is planning to recruit veterinary people from outside the country. Now our question is, have they really looked into the local market? Is there no vet available? What is the problem? Is the salary not sufficient to keep local people? I would very much like to maybe just add that to that specific question, because I am concerned about the veterinary services. And then on the disaster risk management question that Honourable Abrams has asked, I really would also like to express my concern about the long delay and the management of disaster support. And I would very much like to know if we haven't gone or proceed with a strategy as far as a better mechanism to handle disaster support in circumstances where it really needs to be handled properly. Because as Honourable Abrams has said, in many instances where livestock is affected, they cannot wait for a year to be fixed. I think those issues must be really make or give urgent attention to it. If I can add one or two questions, Chair. I would very much answer I'm worried about the livelihood economics and business development sector or department, which spends about 750 million rand on specifically the improvement of the agricultural sector and also the improvement of production. And I wonder if the effects of the programs that they've got in place is suitable for attaining the objective. For instance, the cash money that we spend, I'm not quite sure whether we see results from that money. The starter packs that are handed out, do we monitor the effect of it? I'll give you an example. Last weekend, an interlink with 40 tons of seed was brought to a rural area. Now, 40 tons of seed can roughly plant about 4,000 hectares. And to our knowledge, and the local farmer's knowledge, there's not more than 100 hectares available. But people take the seed, and they go away with it, and they sell it, and they do all sorts of other things with it. And I really think that if we want to progress and make sure that we spend the money wisely, that we do that. On that same department, training those farmers are most important. And I see that we've only trained about 308 farmers to systems which is available. Those are, to my mind, really must be improved on. I think the training of beneficiaries of land reform projects or whatever newcomers into the sector must be able to be trained, and they will have to be able to also be supported by mentors people as well as any country.
Because of decline in production, as was mentioned in the presentation, that there is a decline in production from all sectors. Can maybe you want to come up to say maybe it's some of the reasons are related to maybe the poor soil fertility or maybe the chemicals that are, or the fertilizers that are used in promoting the production from our funds. And again, there was a point raised or during the presentation regarding production and resource management, that of land use planning and zoning programs. I'm not quite sure, Chairperson, whether these are only focused on certain areas or maybe in the whole of South Africa, where, as far as I could understand, this land use planning and zoning should maybe specifically be applied in areas where people have been so scattered in the way they've settled. So if then so, I understand in some parts of the country, in some provinces, you could find that there is still land available for agriculture in order to help those substantial farmers in the rural areas. What is the department doing to reach those communities? Because I understand subsistence farming as well in some way provides that reduction in food security or food demand in our communities. I understand in one of the provinces it was once mentioned that the province